My dear friends, I am pleased to summarize for you, as I have been requested, the doctrines of Judaism and point out a distinctive pattern and its essential message to mankind. I should like to remind you that in a religion as old as ours, reaching across many centuries and many lands, embracing many cultures and reflecting a great variety of experiences, there are bound to be many levels of development, many varied and shifting emphases, highways and byways, as it were, thought. It should be remembered that Judaism is not a fixed and inveterate set of dogmas and doctrines and observances which have remained constant and inflexible through the centuries. Judaism is not a formalized creed which consists of so many articles of faith which have received the official stamp of approval of some authorized church council. In fact, no attempt was made to formulate a definition or a creed of Judaism until the Middle Ages, some 1,500 years after the time of the great prophets of Israel. Nor is Judaism based on some unusual or dramatic event in the history of the Jewish people, or on some extraordinary personality, although historic events, great personalities, played a significant role in the development of our faith. Rather, is it the evolving faith and the ethical thinking of a spiritually sensitive people through long centuries of time, and it is only the religious sense or genius, if you will, of this people which gives organic unity to the faith which we call Judaism. Just as in the case of all other classic religions, so also with Judaism, there have been in it from time to time various schools of thought, the traditionalists and the reformers, the ritualists and the pietists, the rationalists and the mystics, the priests and the prophets. At times the views of one or the other predominated, but most often they interpenetrated and modified one another. But it is not difficult at all to discover beneath the surface of these movements and currents the deep, steady, and persistent channels which carried on throughout the ages. Amidst the many changes of opinion and emphasis, it's quite easy to discern the outlines of the major trends, the key ideas, the enduring attitudes, the unfailing and beckoning horizons, as it were, of the historic faith, Judaism. The great insights of Judaism are easily recognizable in all stages of its development. That God is one, spiritual, creator and ruler of the universe, indwelling in all nature, and yet transcending it, near to man in all his needs, and yet beyond man's comprehension. That man, while fashioned out of the earth, is nevertheless made in the spiritual image of God. That while bound by his physical and mental limitations, he is nevertheless boundless in his moral aspirations, and he is free to determine his own spiritual progress through his own efforts, assisted by the grace of God. That both body and soul are of God, and that the whole of man, body, mind, and soul, is sacred, that all men are equal in their essential humanity and in the sight of God, that there is but one moral law for prince and pauper, for ruler and subject, for native born and a stranger, that life is good and is a gracious gift of God, that the evil which exists in the world can be overcome, and in the overcoming of it lies the meaning, the true meaning and the adventure of human life. That a golden age of universal justice, brotherhood and peace awaits the human race, to be ushered in by the efforts of the human race. That there is reward for goodness in time and in eternity. That man's spiritual concern should be with life this side of the grave, since the hidden things belong to God. For the things that are revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do all the words of the law. These, my dear friends, are the basic, the enduring ideas of Judaism. Some of the great religions of mankind possess one or more of these ideas. Some have adopted them directly from Judaism. But Judaism has woven them all into a single and unique pattern, has integrated and correlated them into a dynamic and magnificent religious philosophy and into an ethical code which has powerfully influenced the civilization of mankind and must continue to mold it in the future. Judaism is the religion of the Jewish people, evolved by it and entrusted to it to spread the teachings to the whole world. But its message, the message of Judaism, is universal. Its God is the God of the whole of mankind. Its temple is a house of prayer for all peoples. Israel conceived of itself as a covenanted people, a mission-dowered people, trained through a self-imposed discipline to be, as it were, an army of the Lord, to carry this revelation of the one God and of his mandates of faith and of right living to all men everywhere. The Jewish people regarded itself as having been chosen for this mission because it was first born to this truth, to be a light unto the nations. It was chosen not for any special favors or privileges, but for the hard, exacting obligations of spiritual leadership, which is so often a crown of thorns. As an historic faith, infused with the life experience of the Jewish people, Judaism naturally reflects in some of its customs, symbols, ceremonies, and festivals the special experience and the special needs and hopes of the Jewish community. But the light of its spiritual and its ethical vision is intended for the whole of mankind. Judaism excluded no one from sharing in its faith because of race or of caste. In fact, no one needs to be formally admitted into its fold in order to be saved. The righteous among the Gentiles will have a portion in the world to come, declare the rabbis. And a non-Jew who observes the moral law is to be preferred even to the high priest in the temple who ignores it. The crown jewels of Judaism are, of course, to be found in the Bible which has been correctly called the Epic of the World, the Book of the Ages. The Bible is inextricably bound up with the culture, ethics, history, art, and literature of half the world. It has nourished the hearts and minds of countless generations of men and has guided, challenged, and inspired the humble and the great, the idealist, the social reformer, the peace advocate, the champion of freedom and democracy, the dreamers of mankind's great dreams. The truths of the Bible are inexhaustible and deathless, and in freshness and relevancy, unaging. The Bible has been called the Magna Carta of the poor and the oppressed, the most democratic book in the world. But while the crown jewels of Judaism are found in the Bible, the spiritual treasures of our faith are not limited to the Bible. Subsequent ages also have produced sages, seers, and rabbis whose spiritual wisdom is embodied in their later Jewish writings, and the Apocrypha, the Talmud, the Midrash, and the individual works of scholars, poets, and philosophers who have continued to this day. Their teachings constitute an integral part of the endlessly replenished religious literature of Judaism. Along with the unique religious literature, Judaism gave to the world also a unique type of worship and a unique religious institution, which is called the synagogue. The eminent Christian scholar and historian of religion, Robert Herford, writes in one of his books, "With the synagogue began a new type of worship in the history of humanity, the type of congregational worship. In all their long history, the Jewish people have done scarcely anything more wonderful than to create a synagogue. No human institution has a longer, continuous history, and none has done more for the uplifting of the human race." And another great Christian scholar, Professor George Foote Moore of Harvard, wrote, The consequence of the establishment of such irrational worship for the whole subsequent history of Judaism was immeasurable. The very preservation of its existence through all the vicissitudes of its fortunes, it owes more than anything else to the synagogue. Nor is it for Judaism alone that it had this importance, writes Professor Moore. He determined the type of Christian worship, which in the Greek and Roman world of the day might otherwise easily have taken the form of a mere mystery. And, in part directly, in part through the church, it furnished the model also to Mohammed. Thus Judaism gave to the world not only the fundamental ideas of these great monotheistic religions, but the institutional forms in which they have perpetuated and propagated themselves. Now, what was it then that was transmitted by the synagogue through the long centuries? The synagogue which used the sacred text of the Bible and the law of the rabbis as its subject matter. What were its basic ideas? What were its vital doctrines? What truth did it give to the world by which alone man can live and mankind prosper? I've already indicated some of them. They were all concerned with one thing, the sanctification of human life. In one way or another, they all tended to ennoble, deepen, and expand the spiritual domain of man on earth. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. To approximate perfection, that measure of perfection which is attainable by mortal man, that was the challenge. Walk thou with me and become perfect, or become complete, God said to Abraham. Great Jewish philosopher of the Middle Ages, Maimonides, said, think not meanly of yourself and despair not of perfection. Purity of life, purity of action, purity of thought, purity of family life, all these attributes of perfection are within the reach of man. Judaism did not teach asceticism or needless austerities or the rejection of life or of any of its innocent pleasures. Judaism did not teach fear of life or contempt for life any more than it preached an engrossed and excessive this-worldliness. Judaism taught the sanctification of human life here on earth through moral effort and moral self-discipline. Judaism taught a spiritually wholesome and harmonious life, the well-balanced life in which body, mind, and soul are all fulfilled. Judaism taught the aspiring life, resolutely and confidently climbing upon the rungs of our inadequacy and error and ignorance, of our self-centeredness, climbing over them and rising above them constantly to higher levels where man becomes a little lower than the angels. Judaism taught a life which is exalted through justice and love and humility in the service of God and in the service of man, a life exalted through the resisting of evil, through combating social injustice and tyranny and war, through struggle, if necessary, through suffering and sacrifice in order to establish God's kingdom, which, whatever else it is, most certainly must be also of this world. And Judaism taught that God gave man tools, adequate tools, for these tasks. Man is endowed with mental powers and spiritual powers and with freedom to use and, if need be, to surmount heredity and environment. The whole of human history is evidence of the possibility of steady progress beyond the limitations of heredity and environment towards a world order nearer to man's higher aspirations. And man must make the effort. That's the challenge of Judaism. Success or failure are measured not by the degree of achievement, but by the degree of earnest moral effort. It is by the direction in which we move, and not by the goals we reach, that we are judged in the sight of God. The sinner is condemned not so much for his sin, but because of his refusal to return from his evil way. The Lord regardeth the way of the righteous, the way of the righteous. I said a moment ago that Judaism taught that all life was holy. Because all life is holy and every life is sacred, no one must rob his neighbor of his freedom, of his dignity, of his livelihood, of his inalienable rights. The love of liberty and the essential democracy of Judaism, which have won the admiration of the world, were the result not of any philosophy of economic determinism, nor of any class struggle which took place in ancient Israel, nor of any philosophic speculations. They flow directly out of a fundamental dogma, namely, that man is made in the image of God. Every man, every human life is a reflex of divinity, an end in itself, and therefore inviolable. And every act of wrong and injustice which mars the life of man also defaces the image of God. Oppression, tyranny, exploitation are sacrilege. They are more than a mere violation of the laws of society. They are blasphemy. They thwart the holy life in man, which is God's life. They distort and mutilate that which God ordained, namely the free, untrammeled unfoldment of each and every human personality. And because all life is holy, war, which is a destroyer of life, is a desecration. Now, Judaism is not a pacifist religion. Judaism does not accept the doctrine of non-resistance to evil. But Judaism does abhor war. And its prophets were the first to project a vision for mankind of a warless society in an age when accepted war ideas were looked upon as being in the very nature of things and fully justified. It was the prophets of Israel more than 2,700 years ago who called upon the nations of the earth to turn their swords into plowshares and to learn war no more. The seal of God Almighty, declared the rabbis, the seal of God is peace. This then, my friends, is Judaism. Source and fountainhead of all that the Western world has today of religion and morality, of its ideals of human dignity, of social justice, of liberty and democracy, of brotherhood and peace. It is a religion of rare humaneness and humanity, a religion of wide horizons, a religion which is very livable and very workable, a religion which places a very high estimate on human life, and on man's creative powers, and on man's heroic destiny. It is a religion which calls for the fullest development of all of man's faculties, physical, mental, spiritual, for the service of God and the advancement of man. It is this faith which has survived the persecutions and the furies of the centuries. It is of this faith that the sacred text speaks. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. It is a tree of life to them that lay hold of it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace.